So first, a comment. Yesterday morning I woke up and then I noticed how I started to hear the cars or the road noise from the highway. And then I started to hear some birds singing. And when it started, it felt to me like somebody sliding a volume up. So I think, I don't remember before having, like there was awareness before I started to hear the sounds. So that was an interesting experience for me. Yes. Maybe I could ask about practice after this retreat. So some yogis reported here that they had during the retreat a need to do some work related things, and then they said that their kind of mind was somehow distorted after that, or it was kind of less calm. And I think I have similar kind of experience from my some earlier retreat, that I needed to do something, and then kind of the external world was messing up the calm state. But then on this retreat I have been doing the sound things and also talking more, and sometimes checking my emails, and it feels like now it's probably much easier to go home, and still the practice has been useful, but I don't think I will be able to, for example, go to work and be very aware there, because even doing this job here, I feel that I'm not very aware all the time, and it's much harder to do that at work. So actually I was thinking about future retreats. I can go maybe about 3 times a year for a 1 week retreat, and wondering if it would be more helpful for me to practice more in kind of getting into the calmer state, so not so much interference, or would it be more helpful to have a little bit more distraction when the practice is maybe doesn't go so deep, but then it's closer to normal life. Yes.
He said he doesn't think that it's very useful to just try to have more calm on a retreat. He said it's more useful to try to have continuity for long extended periods of time. So like if you can learn to maintain a little bit of awareness, like even if the moments are not so close together, but they, like, it's something that you do daily, and that sort of becomes very entrenched in your life. He thinks that will be much more useful when that the habit of awareness becomes more entrenched in life. He says, I mean, from your experience yesterday of waking up in the morning and how it felt, it shows that that natural awareness is starting to become kind of like seep into the mind, you know, and that's what you want to grow, the one that's, that pops up spontaneously and does its own work. You want that to come up more and more.
Yes, I think I can somehow extend the periods of awareness in daily life by doing daily formal meditation practice. So it feels that I have been able to be aware in less demanding situations than at work, like when using the computer. So yeah, yes, yeah. I think it's possible to try to extend bit by bit.
Yeah.
But then maybe also the retreats are useful.
Yeah. Tua, ei ma tu nene formal tomro tu ho ei ma thaina thaina li. Era so yin ne ho tei ma ho a lot ma twin ne a che ni le so yin tu upma yo yo tu a mya computer thong na ro ba ro so yin tadi po po win la de. Yeah, he says you have to do both.
Yeah.
Do as much formal as possible, but remember that the goal is to grow that continue, that habit of being mindful.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
I don't think I have much to report at this moment. Just sort of the gratitude of having these 3 weeks of learning so much that I don't really, I'm not sure if I've ever learned this much in 3 weeks or at all, perhaps.
Yeah,
I think that's it. My goal is to start another retreat Sunday evening at home.
And tu goal ka ba le so raw Sunday at the dia
twa
ma le ai nya ni ya ni sa raw tu aim ma retreat sa me win me. Yes, yeah, this is, if we do 3 weeks, we get 3 weeks worth, and if we do it forever, we get forever's worth.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
Similar stuff. I'm grateful for these 2 weeks and for all your teachings and all the learning, and I feel like many things have, like you said, turned upside down in my head.
Mm-hmm.
How I view things, mm-hmm. and also how I view the practice.
Yeah.
I've learned to relax, which is, it's a lot.
Yeah, just thank you. Yeah, that's all.
Sarah says if we are really grateful, we must keep practicing.
It came so fast. I don't have questions either, but maybe I'd like to tell how full of inspiration I am at the moment. It's just so amazing that we have these teachings available, and like I can have all the suttas in my pocket, and we have this living tradition, and it's an amazing opportunity. And in here we don't have to really struggle to survive, like no one is dying of hunger or anything, so it's a great opportunity to practice, and I will go on. Continue.
See that. ตัวอย่างโหอินสไปร์ผิดหมดเลยครับอาถุมันเต็มมาบ่เนาะโหสึกอ่ะอย่างโหจีนูดาบ่เนาะจีนูได้สึกตาอัพผิดแต่ว่าสึกแท้มาตู้ไอ้โหคินเดิลนี่บ่มาตุ๊ดตันนี่อายอกုံแท้ลงยาเลยแต่แม้ดีมาอัตเสร็จนี่เลยแหละดีอาถุหมดเลยอัตเสร็จเนี่ยตู้สึกแท้มาจะอาจารย์ตู้อ่ะตู้เสร็จอาถุมาบ่เลยตู้ตู้อ่ะไม่อาถุนี่ล่ะเว้ยเออนึกว่าเรียนอาถุได้อย่างนี้ตีได้ตัวอ่ะ
She always says, if we know a little, we know a little, you know, the one who knows a little practices a little, one who knows a lot practices a lot, and one who really knows really practices.
Okay, I actually have two questions that came to mind. Both involve social interaction. So I've been talking a lot in last days and enjoying it. And there's a question that comes to mind often when talking, and it's, where's the mind's attention now, inside or outside? And yeah, I just wanted to ask a simple question if I got that right. So does inside refer to the inside the body, like bodily sensations, or is there also something else included in inside?
Mind?
So outside would be when the mind goes out the eye door, or
outside is like concepts.
Well, can you just define inside and outside both so I understand?
A twin be say go a twin a terra ma shila be ma shila lo pyo ro tu a twin so ra khana ko re ma la so say le a twin be lo so tu a so a twin a pyin o ne ne
อ๋อโหดะตะบอดท่าเนี่ยมาပြောတာဟာစိတ်ကဘယ်မှာလဲအတွင်းမှာလားအပြင်မှာလားနားမမမစကားပြောတဲ့အချိန်မှာစိတ်ကိုတတိထအဟိုစကားပြောတဲ့အချိန်မှာတတိထဆိုတော့အတွင်းအပြင်ဆိုလို့အဲစိတ်ကအထဲထလာအပြင်ထလာဆိုလို့အာဒါပေမဲ့တကယ်တော့စိတ်ကအပြင်မှာရှိတယ်ဆိုရင်စိတ်ကိုသိရင်သူကအထဲထမှာရှိတာအပြင်မှာလားဆိုတာထဲအဓိပ္ပာယ်ကအပြင်ကိုအာယုံပြုနေတာလားအတွင်းအာယုံပြုနေတာလားလို့မေးတာ
So basically, just for simplicity, when you're talking, inside means knowing what's happening in the body and the mind.
Yeah.
Outside is when the mind's attention goes to the concepts outside it. Looking at the seeing the person, or you know, getting involved in the conversation, the meaning and all that, and forgetting to be aware of even slightly, like even if you have some recognition that the mind is understanding what the person is saying, or you know, if you have some reference to something happening inside of your own experience, you're still aware of that, you know.
Yeah.
And even if your attention goes to the, you know, so-called outside, but if you know that the attention is going outside, you're still inside.
So basically the distinction has to do with awareness.
It has to do with whether you know the mind and body. Yes.
Yes, having awareness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
So the other question is, so I've been kind of exploring this, like trying to have skillful interactions. And I'm a psychologist, and there are some other psychologists here also, and some of us work, I don't actually do it now, but we work and do interaction many hours a day. That's what psychologists, clinical psychologists do, that they talk the whole day, they have interactions with clients. And I'm kind of trying to do this in that sense that you're aware of emotions.
Yeah.
I'm aware of the emotions and expressing them, and
yeah.
And trying to have a nourishing discussion where there's like being present and all this exchange happening and being honest and all that.
Yeah.
And kind of here there's like a desire to have these discussions. there's one thing, but I also feel like there's this nourishing component, kind of like with food, that if I'm starving, it's skillful to eat. Right. And there's like chanda, there's a wisdom in eating in at that moment, but there's also one thing to eat. Yes. So is there any advice on how to distinguish in these social interactions between lobha and chanda, like skillful and unskillful wanting from the
skillful situation? And unskillful interaction.
Yeah, like when is it or wholesome or unwholesome? Like when is the wanting to have really good interaction with somebody? When is it lobha and when is it from wisdom?
I think he's going to tell you to find out yourself.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I've been trying. I just was wondering if he has any quick tips for that.
Okay. Zagapyor niyama, right? Tuwa le psychologist. Psychologist yet to nego zagapyor, right? Tu pyore, agu tu dilo yoyole lure na zagapyor eche ma tu dari thare, right? Ho sika zagapyor bo loba shila. Nabro, takha tali, right? Tachu, nabro ho... the bottom of my neck is a gap of over, not you thought that nap your boat, never who you thought who nap your boat, not alum you said deal, the ditabi pure, never to chew Zagaria, the young youngness, win win bono, sick satchu the lubere, Upama, by sale lua, satin bono, canaco, o blue comre, some shout tar the lube, sick ole, some shout tarre and name net. Pure than as a gar, so in pure as a red, a nina, alumio, she la, red, never go, pure than
yampa as a sajira. Good as a gapping at sajira. I could do the garaping, I'm a better
mother. And I blow quite charmingly, let Loba
do say, I would say, oh, I say never to all of
it. So he said basically when we speak
food for thought, I'm good to say good.
Yeah, Sierra says food for thought is you know, like or nourishment for the mind. So basically, when we speak with wholesome...
Right speech, right?
When there's right speech, right? It's in the Noble Eightfold Path. When there's right speech, which means it's wise speech, it's motivated by wholesome... wholesome intentions, the way it's delivered is wholesome, the choice of time, place and person and everything is suitable, he says, then it becomes nourishment. It's like practicing the Dhamma. It's practicing the Dhamma. The Buddha actually, because you're cultivating the wholesome when you actually have that entire package, right? Mm-hmm. Everything wholesome comes together. The Buddha actually said that, you know, Dhamma discussions, listening to the Dhamma, delivering a Dhamma talk, all that is part of practicing the Dhamma. Mm-hmm. Because when you do all that, you have to think about the Dhamma. Right? When you think about the Dhamma, then you're like, you try to, in some sense, embody and understand what you're trying to say or listen to, and in that there is the reflection and the contemplation of the Dhamma, so there is practice going on. So it's wholesome when it's wholesome, he says. And how to tell the, I said, how to tell the difference between wholesome and unwholesome? Yeah, and I asked him, so you said how to tell the difference between when it's lopa or, you know, this thing. He says it's the same as the distinction between any time you're having greed versus or unwholesome versus wholesome, right? You use the same yardsticks and check whether your mind feels relaxed, whether the mind feels wholesome after that, wholesome during that, you know, whether you get tense, whether there are unwholesome consequences that come as a result or wholesome consequences that come as a result. So all those are gauges for...
That's really useful. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
First, I would like to ask about In a last interview, I got the Sayadaw said that in the end there's no inside and outside or something like that.
Right.
And I would like to get some clarification. I didn't quite understand.
Well, what were we talking about though?
I was talking about how with the emotional reactions I tend to turn inside,
mm-hmm.
and not noticing that what happens outside, and then in the end Sayadaw said that there's no inside or outside. I just want to ask
That's
about
enough.
That if I understood it at all.
I don't have enough context to remember. I can't remember in what context this was said, because
maybe enough. You could just see what he.
He's, He doesn't remember either. Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe we can listen to that. Yeah.
I have written down what he said to
okay.
you, if that's helpful. That's all.
Yes, thank you.
He said, we experience our outside inside. We just recognize the knowing and the known. That's as inside and outside as we need to get.
So what he said was that even when we pay attention to the
external.
Outside, external, if we know that we're doing that, we're still inside. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense? So long as we're still with some part of our experience of mind and body. So knowing is our experience of the mind, right? So long as we're recognizing some part of that, then we're still inside.
Okay.
And then because in the end, everything is known by the mind, and I think that's the stretch that it went to. Since everything is known by the mind, everything happens in the mind.
Mm.
Then you cannot differentiate inside and outside. There's no need to, if you understand that everything is just being known by the mind.
I have to think about it.
Yeah, so then what's knowing is you could say inside, what's being known is outside, but it's just a distinction. It's not inside or outside, it's just knowing or known. That's the only thing there is left.
Big words,
yeah.
Little mind.
So once we get to knowing and the known, the other says, then it's everything is inside.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
the Pyazakalonchi
I'll just say one way that I played with that was I used to think, is there anything that I can point to right now that I can't be aware of in my immediate experience? And whatever it is, either, pointing to a sound, but to a sight, anything that you begin to, and then I'm aware of it. Then you begin to realize that awareness is touching. It's how you know all of your experience. So that's why everything begins to feel is inside the mind in that sense. You're knowing it, right? But conventionally we would say when the mind is focused outside, we lose awareness, as the previous yogi was talking about. So it's like losing awareness. When you become aware and the awareness is including more and more, then it starts, this is knowing. Could say you know the mind, so then you realize, everything is being known through the mind, as Motet said.
Okay.
Yeah. Just playful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then something I have noticed about the emotional reactions that I have been experiencing. One emotion I haven't had, or at least don't know I had, have had, is boredom. And I have been just thinking about it, that can it be possible that I have been here 2 weeks and there has been one or two really quick moments where I have been, or one moment with boredom, but and one moment where I wasn't sure if it's boredom, and then it was gone. But I'm just, I don't know why I'm sharing this, but I think it's really interesting because normally my emotional reactions are really recognizable, and it's easy to observe because there's a lot to observe. But what is this? Where is the boredom? And I don't know. I just, maybe he has some insight or not, but just sharing this.
ตัวไอ้หลุดออกเปาะๆแล้วไม่ติดรู้เลยปกติส่วนเองเนี่ยตู้สิทธิ์เนี่ยก่อนโลตู้ทินๆช้าๆติเลยว่าสิทธิ์เนี่ยไม่ผิดเลยนะทินๆนี่แหละติหลุดเลยแล้วแต่ว่าดีสะปัดทําตัวมาปิ้วสรว่าผิดไหนบ่มล่ะเนี่ยลงว่าปิ้นได้สิทธิ์ก็ตัวมาเมียวหม่อยเมียนเอาตัวมาเมียผิดเอาตัวมาเมียนน่ะ
The
mind only gets bored when it doesn't have anything to do, when it is not gainfully engaged. So, Seattle says, so long as the mind is working or is interested in doing something or knowing something, then it won't be bored. Many reasons. Yeah, there are many reasons that boredom can arise. And usually like greed related, but greed coming in different forms. Like it can be wanting more than that's what's here, so that's, you know, we get bored. Wanting perfection, he says, another reason that the mind gets and then laziness, that's like also a form of greed, well, sort of but if we're actually doing the work, you know. And Seattle says to be mindful from morning till night. And if we're actually trying to do that, Seattle says there's not much space left for boredom. Yeah, unless there's, you know, the greed. Also, if as we practice, you know, the practice is growing, we're always learning, we're always knowing things, Seattle says, then also the mind doesn't get bored. And he says it seems like, you know, your awareness is quite good, so that even when you did notice the boredom, it disappeared. It seems
I don't know about that.
So possibly, you know, he said that, yeah,
because I recognize the greed and wanting stuff. So that was actually one moment where I, when I caught myself wanting something, and then I started to, because it happened again and again and again. So I followed the advice that then check the attitude and check the state, and it was really hard to recognize what is the state, because there was, it was. Yeah, it was weird feeling like not having some. It was weird, like, and then I think, is this boredom? And like, I wasn't sure.
And, oh, I see.
And I'm just thinking that is it so sneaky feeling that I don't recognize it, and because I don't recognize it, then my mind...
I don't think you have to call it boredom if you don't know what it is. Yeah, he says when we don't know exactly what it is, we don't have to try and guess what it is. I saw something happen in the mind. Right? That you recognize is the mind, that's good enough. Yeah?
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
I had this idea and experience coming yesterday when sitting on the pier. At some point I've noticed, it was both like an idea coming to the mind and like experience of like everything that is in the senses is inside, in a way it's like inside the, it's hard to put a word on it, but it's like it's not really separated from the outside is not separated from the inside, because they are all inside our sphere of perception.
Okay.
So in this way, what we sense.
Just because my own head. Can you start again?
Okay.
Thank you.
So when I was sitting at the pier, I've noticed and kind of experienced that everything that we feel in the senses is kind of like on the inside.
Yes.
In a sense of it is inside our sphere of perception.
Yes. Okay.
And we don't have like the direct access to reality. It's more like whatever we feel through the senses is like a GPS that through which we can navigate the stuff that is that is kind of represented by it. But it's like we're kind of disconnected from I don't know how to put it in words exactly, but it's like walking while using only a map. And if so, then the whole of our world is within the like the space of the senses, the six senses. So we are there as well. So within like this space or sphere of the senses is the border that separates us from the outside, or perception of us from the perception of outside. It's like as if you would have like a sphere of the senses, and we have the outside that is there, the inside that is there, and there's like a division, and this division runs through the senses. And so I had this thought and like certain like a experience of like watching what is happening with senses and self in certain way diminishing because of being aware that this division between inside and outside is
so the division is perception, division between the sphere of perception and
yes,
what's outside it? Nothing is outside the sphere of perception.
Exactly. Nothing is outside, but normally we would like separate like this is me, this is not me. This is the outside, this is the inside. But whole of this is contained within senses, the sphere of perception. So this concept border between me and, and the outside is within the sphere of perception.
Yes, yes.
So okay. There was like sense of a certain like self-diminishing while watching that.
Yes.
And I felt like this, like observe. It sounds very simple, but it's like observing this just senses. It's like the road to anatta, like the disappearance of the self.
Well, there's many roads to anatta, but
I'm not saying it's the only road. Okay. I'm just saying it is the road.
A road, yes.
A road, not the road, right?
Yeah. Tuva, ho, hlilire nama thayin ne re. Tu dadi thami re re. Ko ti ra man da mya. Apin yo atwin yo akon lo wa di dwara 6 paw ne tinya gaba ran ma. Tinya long ne ma tinya gaba ran ma bo no. O atwin yo apin yo akon lo wa tinya ne ko wa
pho
tha ra a ti ya da tinya ya ti ya no. A lo tu a pyo re sikka blo lo atwin pyin khwe le so ro nga ma ho ai ha ne tu atwin pyin khwe la nga so yin atwin phit twa bi nga so yin atwin phit twa bi nga a pyin so ho de le tu ta ma che a ya tu a khwe da le atwin pyin ya
da ma
di tinya di ka ba re ma be khwe tha da no nga
so wo so ho da bo
ya nga ne so
nga ne ma sai ne
ha ya nga ne ma sai ne ha a pyin no da ma di sick ba tu di na le mu le o ba tu thain tu ti bro tu set set bro tadi tha ni le re a lo tadi tha yin tha yin ne ba di tu ba tadi tha mi le so sick ka be hao nga yu le be hao nga ma yu so ra ti yin ti na di nga so re sick ka ne ne wa le re a lo tu sick the ma blo khan za la so yin di ti nya o mya mya ti yin anatta ti nai ne lo tu a lo
tinya la ti ba pi pi ba tinya le pa la ba de ti shi ni lo nyan shi ma ti da ba ba tinya ti lo mo
yes so
da mai de ti ne ti ni lo sait de o sait ko de ti ne ti ni lo be sait ma be sait ma so phit nai da
phit nai ya
tinya ma ho ko
yeah so Seattle basically says it can be a road but it's not the only road because in this case you have made perception your object. Right? You've made perception your object. You're noticing perception, the way it works, and the way perception is operating in the mind, and that's starting to make you see that thing, the impersonality of it. But all the sense, all the aggregates are the same. If anyone chooses to observe any of the other aggregates, we can also come to the same conclusion. Different people, of course, will find different objects like more conducive to their understanding of any of the kinds of laws of nature. Sierra says, ultimately, it's not the object that gives you the insight. It's when the wisdom arises because you've been aware. So the map is actually the walking the path, the GPS is your awareness, right? And it's because you have been aware of the perception that the understanding of anatta can arise, right? You
not kuchi la tinya ti po bi ba lo tu wa yo wa le so tinya ga
po ni la
u ti lo po ni la ti de twa tu po bi lo lo cha lo po mian lo
yes in your case yeah this is because you're also noticing the perception of, self and outside of self, or what is me and outside of me. And when you're seeing that constantly, then you can also see when it starts the mind's hold on it. Because the hold on it is invisible, but when you're looking at it and it's visible to you, then the mind can kind of lose its invisible or the hidden hold on it, then you see it more. The anatta. Yeah, so often when yogis say that they can't understand non-self, Seattle says that you don't have to understand non-self. They say that they're very aware of their sense of self, then he says, then know that sense of self. Right? What we want to do is know the reality. And if you know that the mind is selfing, then you can see that it's also constructed.
Yes, it was similar in this way that like the self was very present, a lot of what is hidden was on the display, yes. I would say, in that inside outside perception.
Yeah. Because
it was very visible. And those, it was like it could be seen that it's constructed.
Yeah. That's right. So once it becomes visible, it's like a magician, Siada says, you know, when you know how he does the tricks, then you know what to look at. Then you can see how the trick is done. But when you don't know what to look at, then you don't know how the trick is. You just think, you fall for the illusion.
Yeah, it kind of felt like this, because this perception is something that can be met upon like in many different instances. One can not practice Buddhism and have this perception of whatever is in my sense, whatever is outside is in my senses, but it's like the Dhamma is like this knowing that this is the path leads through there. So it's easy to miss this point, like without Dhamma. I don't know if I'm making sense.
Yeah, no, not no. really. Yes, I think you have a picture
right,
in your
because,
mind, but it's not
because
being presented.
Like there's this being aware of perception, being aware of inside and outside, being within this sphere of perception, and that perception can arise on many different instances in many different people.
It arises all the time. Perception is, there's a word for it, it's
omnipresent.
Yes, it's perception never stops. It's like an operating principle of mind. Without that, their mind is not. Sanya
right,
is
but
one
this,
of the
this part,
yeah.
This particular perception of inside and outside.
Oh, you're talking about, okay, that's not only perception. Now there's wisdom. Seeing it, being able to see the reality of that, the way perception is working, that's wisdom.
Mm.
So you, perception just names things.
All right.
Right?
Right. So, okay.
It doesn't have a self-reflection.
Okay.
It doesn't have a self-reflection. Wisdom does that reflection.
So there can be like many instances when this wisdom arises in people, just like generally.
Yes.
But it can be like missed in that sense that it has to be recognized as something that leads further, to lead further.
Yes, possibly. The kadi the choluriya, the yadamam nam le bime. The kadi nyashi le, tuwa tuwa tinya alon lo dana ne. Nyani ngari bari te yushi sura. Pina, dama tuwa diha yichi le sura tijimati
le.
Yes, yes. I mean. There are people, I mean, because Buddhism believes in rebirth and all that, there are people who are born with, you know, and, you know, they have, and, I mean, everybody's reborn, so everybody probably has some potential to understand something if it's triggered. So, for some, yes, they don't understand the significance of what they recognize and realize and for some people, they do. It just depends on the person and their circumstance.
I mean, I think it sounds like you're pointing a little bit to the role that right view has on the path.
Yes.
So, because if you ask anyone, do things change? Almost everyone in the world says, yes, things change. But does it lead to, you know, insights? Is it onward leading? And that's when the view
mm-hmm.
is connected to that particular perception of change, right? Because
mm-hmm.
we recognize change all the time. When does it become an insight that actually is a freeing seeing? You know, we actually recognize and it does something. So it's not just a perception or some kind of recognition. It's in that stream of seeing, oh, this is the nature of things, this is how suffering arises, and this is how suffering comes to an end, and there's lots of ways of which that wisdom happens. So this is, right view is so such a significant part of our practice, because we can see a lot of things, but when does it become something that actually is supportive for the development of wisdom?
Yeah, like the same insight can be experienced as a part of the path,
right?
Or just like an insight that's curious thing, and like then let go. Just
right. Right. Yeah. Just know that things change doesn't necessarily transform the mind.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. That's right.
Okay, so I've got one question.
Yes.
I know it's a very basic concept, and it's very often repeated by Sayadaw, which is like being aware of the senses. Mm-hmm. I mean, it kind of ties to the experience that I had, but I wanted like a clarification, which I probably know, but it's always good to check. There's a notion of being aware of senses, and let's say like being aware of seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And what does it contain, being aware of seeing?
Bata kuguba titi po no ay de ku ti de uma mine ti de so ba so era ba ri shi le de mina o ti de tan ma ba ri shi le
ti ti ya ne ti da le shi de.
As far as he's concerned, there's knowing an object.
Right, but there are like different things that arise with seeing. Like I see, and there are like there's a recognition of shapes. There is a there's like vedana that follows it. There are some thoughts that connect with seeing, and
he can't name them to you. There's so much that happens.
Exactly. That's why I'm asking, like, being aware of seeing is...
Okay, so theoretically, everything is happening, right? In a moment of seeing, there's perception, there's Vedana, there's Sankara, there's, you know, there's a contact, the five aggregates are present, the Rupa is there, right? And then, as at that moment, depending on the mind, different elements of you know, the five not just five aggregates, the five faculties are working, right? And whatever other kind of mental concomitant might be there at that time. But Sayadaw says we don't have to look for them, right? Whatever we recognize, that's what's for us in the present moment. Although they're all there. Sometimes he says we can try to explore the theory in our experience. Can we sense this or that or the other, right? Right. Some of them are harder. Some of them are harder to even understand how to, because some of these things can't be observed, like contact. What, you know, maybe in touching you can, but yeah. Things like the rupa for seeing, that's a bit hard to really sense, you know, so,
Eye consciousness,
Which part of the experience do we recognize in the moment as we are naturally being aware? Or you can, you know, choose to stop and... Not stop, but choose to kind of explore a little bit more, just
to
get a feel for things. The more we explore any one object, the more we discover about it, of course.
Right. Mm.
And it changes.
Yeah, I mean, it at the same time answers and doesn't answer my question, because like there's a lot of stuff that arises when like seeing together, is happening.
Yeah? They all arise together, like simultaneously. Yes. It's like in a moment, so much is happening. But yeah, you'll see what you see. That you don't have to. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like okay, like when I because it's unavoidable when I when I'm seeing and I'm seeing something, it's a concept,
yes,
right?
So do you see that your mind has created that concept, for example?
Sometimes yes.
Sometimes yes. Yeah.
Sometimes like yes. That. Most time no. Most time it's just mind is throwing these concepts alongside.
Already. Yeah, but then you can recognize that it's already happened, right?
No, Diane, the cool tiger. Oh,
this is and every perception, right? It goes through two doors, right? Like the physical sense door and then the mind door as well. So the mind door is always involved, right? Yeah.
So.
Oh, so that's why there can be things like wrong perception, you know, and stuff like that. Because your eye sees something and then the mind interprets it. So you might see a something in the dark. So the eye sees something and the mind will still interpret. So that's why there can be wrong perception. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like you might see a rope in the dark and think it's a snake, right? So yeah.
Again, what was the mind door? Is that just Mind door.
Every new word we bring in has to be an explanation. Every new word is the mind door.
So basically, to sum.
Let's just say it's the mind. The four aggregates of mind.
Five sense doors here. Mind doors here. Do what you like.
Okay.
So basically, because it's unavoidable to sum this up, it's like it's okay if for like some when I'm seeing just concepts, like a cup, a chair, a water, a wall, a window, and so on, and this is what I see, and this is like being aware of this as seeing.
No.
Well, only if you are aware of seeing. Tua, kwe mien ne su ba su. Da mien nao ti de.
Mien nao ti de, kwe mien na, ti da mo di.
Okay. If you see a cup, okay, you see the cup, but you're not knowing seeing yet. You have to recognize in your own experience that you know that you are seeing
everybody
the cup.
Everybody knows the cup.
Right?
See the cup.
So
everybody see the
it
cup.
Has to come back to your experience.
Then you recognize your experience. That is a,
come back to your part in seeing the cup. That is that you know that you see the cup. That's why he always says, right? The question is not are you seeing, but do you know that you are seeing?
Then everybody beginning this.
Do you know?
Yeah. Most people focus on what they are seeing, and then if you shift to the fact that seeing is happening, then you're aware, right? You're aware of seeing. So, do I know seeing is happening versus I know what I'm looking at? So everyone knows what they're looking at, is what Sayadaw is saying. But that you know you're seeing, then there's more awareness of seeing.
Okay, so not seeing the cup, but do you know that you are seeing the cup?
Yes.
Oh, okay, thank you for clarification.
Yes.
Sorry for taking.
That's okay, since you've had a lot of passes to give you that space. Wonderful.
I have my own question, but just a quick follow-up on that. So I remember when I first met Sayadaw and I was confused by normal meditation instructions because I would always know many objects. And the more I, you know, focused on something, the more objects I would know. And then, like, you know, and then yes. I thought that I was confused, like, yeah. Am I getting distracted? More distracted. The more I meditate, the more distracted I am, no. And all this. And then Sayadaw explained, if I remember correctly, that when you know more than one object, that means that you're knowing the mind. Because yeah. you know
awareness is good.
Because yeah. as he said, like, just now, that everything goes through the mind doors. Yeah. So if you're watching the mind, then you can know the body at the same time and know the concept of the cup and also the shape and maybe like, oh, that's a nice cup or
Everything comes like through the mind, yeah.
So I was wondering, like, is that kind of a useful, that if you're knowing more than just the cup, then you're probably knowing the mind and then you're...
I wouldn't oversimplify it.
Okay.
Yeah. You have to know if you're knowing the mind. You don't just assume that if you know more than that, that you know.
Right.
Yes, you could be knowing another concept.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, so back to our regular programming.
Mm-hmm. You know what? What? Yeah, actually, tu ayuni poti le pito. The chance ya nese tu asima biya uva so tu a bosish. Show me the
lopina.
Ero shimpia tu ayuni miamia ti le so sekani ti ni lo. Ayuni miamia ti la lo tu shimpia lo tu a era tu asimpia uva. Tama tu a di lo sinza le. Ero so tu a ti la sek tu seko ti lo. Tu a di sek hema pita ni makau tu a piya. Concept de leti le di pin ni ran le pi ti le sei de yo yo de akon lo ti le so lo a lo di pinya a pin bo no di pinya ta khu na khu the po bro ti le so yin a sin ko sei ta khu khu ti lo a lo ro yan pyo lo me ya u lo sei ti le so yin sei ti man ti ya me ho di pinya pinya ta khu na po bro ti le so yin pinya de yi ba ta ti yin ti ni ma bo sei ti le lo
sei ti le lo pyo lo me ya sei ti ma sei ti le
yeah you can't just like generalize that you know the mind. You have to be knowing the mind. Yes. Yeah. You know, not everybody who even pays attention to their own experience necessarily understands what it means to know the mind.
Hmm.
Anyway, carry on.
Right. So last time I talked about this, or I had this kind of a state of delusion, like where the mind would kind of get to a point where it yes, didn't really have enough interest.
And then you did the revolution and yes. you went to Anapanasati,
right,
as I
right.
remember.
Yes. So I actually wanted to talk a bit more about that or describe the experience a bit more. And I've been trying to understand, like, so why did it work? Like, what did it do and why did it do that?
I thought he already explained that last week.
Well, let's see. I think there's
more,
more to it. So basically when I tried it, I followed the breath for a while. And by following the breath, I mean that I just sort of gently directed the attention towards, you know, while still knowing all the other body sensations
yes.
and so on.
Yes.
And I did that maybe, I don't know, a few minutes. I wasn't looking at a clock,
okay.
but not very long. And, okay. and then it sort of, like, it had a really dramatic effect.
Yes.
So it sort of energized the mind
yes,
somehow.
Yes.
Like, and it's almost like, or I noticed at that point, it's almost like the mind expanded.
Yes.
Like then I didn't realize it at the time, but when I noticed that it expanded, then I realized that it had been, a bit contracted.
Mm.
And it felt like it had been expanded in the sense that it feels like there's, you know, more space to know all kinds of stuff.
That's right.
Somehow.
That's right.
And more space for wisdom also, like in the delusion state, it was kind of like I can't fit any useful thoughts in there, or it's kind of,
yes,
like, you know, I
understand.
it's hard to think about.
Okay.
It's sort of
sure
unclear.
Yes.
So at least one thought then was that, okay, maybe I was missing, you know, energy, that for some reason following the breath for a while increased the energy, like
yeah.
that factor.
Yes.
But then, yeah, so I was wondering, like, so because I don't think the breath is, you know, somehow magical, that I could achieve the same thing.
No, the object never...
Exactly, yes, yes. So that's what I was trying to understand. So, like, what does this say about what I was doing before? And I was thinking, like, so one explanation was that that the reason it helped
yes.
was that I was very clearly knowing an object while I was following the breath. You know, it's crystal clear that there's these sensations and I'm knowing what they are like and there's no question about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking, like, Is it possible, you know, we talk about not following the objects, and I've been doing that a lot, that just kind of being aware of whatever is being perceived without trying to narrow down on anything.
Yes.
But is it kind of, and kind of staying with the awareness?
Yes.
But I wonder, is it possible to be a bit too much on the side of the awareness, that you're almost ignoring experience, that you kind of, you know that you're aware, but you're not really clearly aware of what you're knowing, and then you kind of...
That's not useful. Tua, takadli, the deal, yan ti bo cho zai, ayo mati de lo pita, era together the deal, ti dam hoto, no?
เออหนูเปล่าหรอเนี่ยだแม้ตะดีเนี่ยอะไรเนี่ยต้วนนี่ล่ะเว้ยเนี่ยเออเราจะกันตัวตะดีโอแห่ไปแล้วฉี่บ่โจ้ซ้ายเนี่ยแห่ไม่ได้แห่เนี่ยเราตะคันนี้อายุเว้ยยกเป็ดกูปิดๆเปล่าเลยอ่ะใส่เป็ดกูแห่หาเนี่ยยกกูไม่ทิ้งช้าหรอกอือแล้วผิดตัดอือแต่แม้ไอ้เฉิงจ่ายเปลี่ยนไปแล้วช็อตไล่ลงไปบ่
The mind starts to ignore stuff in the, like, other physical objects. He said, yeah,
that can... I was thinking, like, could that... If I was being too much with awareness, kind of ignoring experience, would that explain the kind of contraction?
But it can be, you know, when the mind doesn't really understand mind... And you're like trying to put your attention to something that the mind thinks is awareness, and it doesn't clearly understand that this is mind, this is awareness. It's like just redirecting to something that feels like it's observing. But then when you keep doing that and you're not recognizing this is mind, Seattle says, then you know, when you start ignoring the other physical senses, and you just keep taking this something that artificially the mind, you know, seems to be paying attention to, people can kind of get spaced out. You know, like not really knowing.
Yeah,
and because you're not really knowing that it's the mind. Unless there's that realization this is mine, it's
right.
Not like very... That's not a place that most people get to.
Mm-hmm.
No, understanding that it's mine, yeah. Yeah, but you can try it all, Seattle says. You know, try going this way, that way, both ways.
Mm.
And yeah, and then figure it out. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I was thinking that maybe there was, I was getting somehow a bit too relaxed with the awareness and not really paying attention to anything anymore. And then it kind of starts to space out.
That's it.
That it's...
How to do it? How to do it? How to do it? How to He always says the mind must have an object. That's the best. That's his nature, is always to be with object. You know, mind and object arise, awareness, object and consciousness arise together, you know. So awareness must be of an object. So if the awareness is not knowing what it knows, then that's not a very good...
Right, so you should... So that, yeah, I guess, sorry, yeah. No,
yeah,
that's what I was trying to kind of get at, that maybe I'm not recognizing the object clearly anymore.
Yes.
That I think I'm kind of... I'm looking at the awareness, but I don't actually know what it's aware of, and that means that it's not really awareness anymore, or at least not like good awareness.
Because... Seattle says, remember that the object of the awareness can be mind.
Right.
And then
when
we're not familiar with mind, it can also feel like we're spacing out because we're not recognizing that it's mind.
Right.
So that's kind of like an insight when you recognize that, oh, the mind knows the mind.
Yeah, I guess sometimes it's been kind of unclear that am I spacing out, or am I just knowing clearly the nature of this kind of, you know, when the mind starts wandering into these vague thoughts, then, you know, it probably feels kind of spaced out. But but in this case, there was this well, anyway, I'll try to figure it out. I was just trying to kind of understand why it was that the breath helped, and this was one because then it was very clear that I was recognizing the object, and I think that might have sort of powered up the awareness, and then I suddenly knew everything clearly again.
Yeah,
and it lasted for to
hold back up your to anap to nene we wawa pita to तू सेट म्यामिया तीन तीन है नहीं ला रहे ली नहीं ला रहे अच्छी मात्र आना पाना नहीं ला रहा नहीं वी वी वापिस तो आना पाना यूलाइ तो तू शिवारे नो ला रहे शिवारे तब ऐसी मात शिन ला रहे अच्छी मात तू अट गया ऐसी मात गया तो दी हो काउने अनेठा या वाला तो दी अच्छे वाले आयु में म्याई पिने मंदी रहे तमे जन्याने Timam pian, tiwalo pian.
Tiwalo ni sudah nyata, nyampilah. I'm sure lah. Paling caca ti si ti lah nyampu korang.
Yeah, so Sierra says.
Bukan wala pi lah nyampi.
So when it's like, in that state, like before you tried the anapana, you know, like when you called it that state of delusion, yes. If it's kind of like blur and not unclear, Sierra says yes. Wisdom is down because
There's less wisdom than there is when you notice that. Oh, now it's very clear.
And yes, yes. Again. So there's much less wisdom because wisdom's quality is knowing clearly and like clearly. Yeah. So, and he says when you looked at an object and then became clearly knowing that the mind is aware again, sort of like that. That clearly knowing that was the wisdom again, and it sort of recognized itself, and then it could like wake up again.
And it remembers how to do this.
Yes. It recognizes.
This is how you do it properly, and then it starts doing it automatically.
It recognizes what it has done before, what it knows how to do, and then it can
Because that's why that was the final sort of interesting point. Is so I only did it for like a few minutes, and then after that, the awareness was like really effortlessly continuous for an hour. Like I didn't watch the breath anymore. I was just sort of
But it continued. There was momentum again.
Yeah, it was kind of like it sort of, I don't know, powered recalibrated itself or something.
Recalibrated, yes. So, sika ero anapana khana le ba lut de no, da me ti da au pyan shin twa dai chi ma tu shin na, ai chi ma a shein ne twa ta nai jaw law, tu a tu a shein ne twa de. Ai chi ma anapana yu bo ma lu raw. Okay, that's fine.
Okay, thanks, that was helpful.
Yes. La sikura ti da. Yes.
What was that? That you said. Okay. Mind is quite peaceful and a little bit tired, maybe. Not much going on. Knowing that soon this will be ending, so maybe a little bit noticing that there is some summing, like what. These 3 weeks, like what have I learned? And and then quite a lot of it has something to do with communication, a lot, like how to be with people and how to talk with people and how.
Communication
It's so easy to assume that people understand what is going on in my mind or in somebody's mind. So, so clearly that is something that I.
It's easy to assume, but it's totally wrong.
Yes. And even though I'm aware of that, but still it happens like all the time. So. Yeah. So now basically what I have been doing is like if I have an impulse to correct something or kind of communicate or something, I just have been doing that. And also feeling grateful for people that I have been kind of interacting because they... it has been a lot of learning and and not so much judgment than usually I judge a lot myself and like what I do and how I do it and but now it's like okay.
Yeah,
it's okay to be like imperfect.
Why do you judge less?
I don't know.
Just checking, he said.
Yeah.
Just curious.
Good question.
Well,
yeah, you don't have to find the answer, he said. Or immediately. You know, you can chew on it.
I will.
Yeah.
I will.
Maybe
one thing that actually I was talking with Matet earlier about the stopping, like the negative, or not negative, but the thoughts that are not very wise.
Yeah.
Like, for example, for me, I have like a depression background, so I have been in deep waters like long time ago and long period. So in a way, sometimes, especially during winter times when it's dark and stuff like that, I noticed that especially mornings are difficult in a way that I could choose like how to start the day. Like the mind goes easily to that pattern of kind of depression, kind of dark thoughts. So kind of, if you have some kind of, you know, advice, like how to, I have been doing that practice quite a long time, but still sometimes it kind of just goes there.
Yeah.
So how to stop the mind?
depression.
Or the thought. You can't stop them from coming. You can only recognize them and then stop them. If we could just prevent them, shadows, then we wouldn't need to do anything.
The poor she said, Daddy Malaji, you know, Nyan Akong, Nyan Akong, and they came up.
He says, what can prevent them is wisdom, strong wisdom. When wisdom is strong, he says, when wisdom is strongly sitting in the chair, nobody can push him out of the chair. So then no space for the unwholesome. So so in that space in your mind, one seat. Yeah, so if we want to prevent them altogether, it has to be a strong insight that's related to that. Also, when the mind has very good stability and momentum, it's hard to shake the mind. Samadhi gives happiness to the mind. Samadhi brings sukha to the mind. So when a mind has a lot of momentum in awareness and stability, Seattle says, it's hard to shake that mind. So even if someone came and like boo or, you know, shouted at you something, you wouldn't react immediately if the momentum of the stability is very strong.
Thank you. And thank you.
I was just going to say, and you can choose. Once you recognize a thought is unskillful or unwholesome, then you can choose not to follow. Because sometimes we think just let it all happen.
Mm-hmm.
And with negative thinking, there's no reason to follow it. Yeah. Once you recognize it's unwholesome.
Stop it.
Right, because then you're just focusing on the story of it and it already has wrong views and self and just creates the whole pattern. So the more you recognize, oh, this is an unskillful thought.
Yeah.
That's already the beginning of not following it, right?
Yeah, that's the thing I have been trying to kind of learn, but sometimes it's hard.
Yeah.
But just also because this is our last interview, just want to thank everybody, and especially teachers, all of you. It's easy to be here with you. It's like really, even though this is scary, but but thank you all for sharing. I'm starting to enjoy this, so maybe I just pass it on.
Yeah, maybe we should put on Mr. Loba with Shaggy.
We can sing all together.
Is it a song?
I had some ideas around how we should do a performance with Mr. Loba, with Shaggy. Next time.
Mr. Loba or Shaggy, ne?
Yes.
So yes. Who's Mr. Shaggy?
So that's it's kind of a reggaeton artist, right?
Oh, tua.
And he have a song called Mr. Loba.
No,
Mr. Bombastic. Mr. Loba.
And there's Mr. Loba.
And then there's something with Mr. Loba, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's in Sweden.
I have it on my iPhone. I can bring it up.
Tomorrow?
It says lover in a Jamaican accent and it sounds like
lover. Oh, yeah, it's
okay. And the interpretation fits pretty
well. No, meaning the
lover.
Lover,
Jamaican accent, if you're a lover,
Oh, I know that.
I will send it to you. It's
Mr. Mr.
In Switzerland, they sing a song.
Yeah.
Closing ceremony. This really is.
Second noble truth.
Second noble truth. Because of craving.
Cause of suffering.
Yeah.
I remember you showed that video at some point, and then I was like, my mind started to go in this weird fantasy that we will sit in this circle and stand down, and then all of a sudden we should put down some music and we should do a simultaneous choreography.
Let's say that much.
There must be some music available about meditation, Sierra says, or sati, Sierra says, about
meditation.
Because there are, he says he's thought so much about how to express the Dharma, and he said, I mean, there's poetry, and he says, why not put the poetry to music? He says, if you think of a posture, the only posture to express the Dharma is
express,
the sitting
posture. He meditate, how to express the Babutulai, Babu Magic.
Yeah, if anyone thinks about meditation, they see a sitting posture, right? That's immediately
that comes
to mind. No other posture seems to express meditation as much, or at all.
Actually, there is music that can, it's not directly, it's not a song in a way, but it's, there are compositions by Stephen Reich, who was like a father of electronic music and like father of minimalism in music, and he has those minimalist composition of repeating tones that are moved in time, so they overlap and you hear them happening from different directions, that they are like pointing your attention constantly toward different objects. So
different sounds,
yes, like they're very separated, very clean, but there's a lot of them happening.
Oh, it's sound, it's music designed to trigger your awareness, you say?
It can be used to trigger the awareness, but it was designed as just like a musical piece, but it has this quality of bringing awareness. I use it sometimes with work because it expands the awareness.
Can we just finish? I want to finish.
Sure.
Yes.
Okay,
too fast. No problem. So I noticed there's been some planning. There's been some
planning,
strategizing about how to use this in-between period now in Sweden before the next retreat. So I could practice with that in a smart way.
Mm.
stuff to avoid and so on. So I've been, you know, like.
We need to plan. We need to keep what is necessary to practice and give away what is not necessary. Not go to places which are not conducive and go to places which are conducive to practice.
Yeah.
There are these things that help.
Yes. Yeah, I can see the same tendencies as well popping up to book up some meetings with some people, stuff like that. So I can see same stuff repeating what I used to do.
Yeah. Can I just pause there? Tu mah kena kena pior apa? Tu upama tu meeting ni baru tu set up loa baru. ခုတစ်ခေါက်လောက်လည်းသူပြောရတယ်နော်အဲ့ဒါလေလောဘတကြီးလုံးမိမှာဆိုလို့ဆိုပြတော့ဒါပေမဲ့တပြည့်တော့ဆရာတော်ကြီးပြောရတယ်နော်လုံးတင်တာလောက်ရမယ်လောဘနဲ့မလုံနဲ့အဲ့ဒါသူကအလုပ်ကိုရှောင်တယ်လို့ဖြစ်အော်အလုပ်ကိုရှောင်တာမဟုတ်စိတ်ကိုကြည့်ပြီးလောက်ရမှာအလုပ်ကိုရှောင်ခိုင်းတာမဟုတ်ကိုလောဘမဲ့အလုပ်လောက်လောက်ရမှာမလုံနေတဲ့အပြစ်ဖြစ်မှာ Just because you mentioned this again about the meetings that you need to set up. And he says, it is not what we have to do that we have to avoid. It is the unskillful mind with which we might do it that we have to learn about and so that it becomes that we do it with a skillful mind.
Yeah.
So he says, because in life there are things we should do and things we shouldn't do. And some things, like, you know, to earn a living, there are things we need to do. We can't just stay mindful and expect business to carry itself out. We have to do the actions of doing business. We want to bring the awareness with us. We want to bring a wholesome mind with us while doing it. So he says, practice doing that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I also seen, you know,
like, don't avoid the work,
some
right?
some planning. I can see that is unskilled when I see that I want to meet someone. That is, unskilled intention behind that.
Yeah,
and that's really nice that I really start to some of these things. That try to trick me again into something.
Whatever we do, Seattle says, we should always check our intentions and our attitudes before we do it. He says it not only helps us to make more skillful decisions and have more skillful actions, we also practice the Dhamma at the same time because we're checking the mind.
Yeah. Somehow I really look forward to have a few days now to go out and practice in the city.
Yeah, go to
city.
Are you going to be in Sweden on the retreat?
So there's a few days in Stockholm, right?
Yeah.
So we can. When I practice here now, today I've been sitting listening to some guided meditation with some guy called Alan Wallace. About awareness, being aware of awareness.
Guided meditation to cool over there. Awareness ko pyan tadi thare chaung guided lok.
Interesting, I find it very similar to Sayadaw's teaching. That's been interesting to use awareness as an object and look at that. Yeah, I think the practice is still interesting.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I told that since I was a little bit of a comment, since I was a comment sign.
It's a good sign when we find the practice interesting.
Yeah. So, practice interesting. So I'll mention some highlights from today. This morning I met a beetle, not the beetles, just a beetle.
A counterfeit.
And the road out here in the middle, and it was, maybe it did not meet me, but I saw it and it was extremely interesting. Something stinging out from behind, and well, it was actually as it is. I will not go into details, but I did as I was looking at this beetle and how it was moving its different legs, and it would put up these things when there was some interesting smell. That is my that was my story, at least. And then, as it was on the road, exactly, the road seemed to most of us to be flat out there. But of course, when you are at beetle level, it's really interesting. It's ups and downs. And obviously, you could see on these things up here, there was something especially interesting down there for a beetle, which could probably be eaten or something, so it would go over there and look at. So, wonderful meeting. And then, I was going to do what's called my yoga job. Also the last today and also the day before, maybe before. It's just, oh, that's a secret space in the day. Me and the carrots. I usually try to see if I can get the carrots. But it... It could be anything. What is really wonderful, it's same time every day, and I don't have to do anything besides deciding how to cut these carrots and be aware. And the moment the mind is somewhere else than there, then you get some memories here on the fingers. I have
few.
So the delight of, I don't know what it is in Buddhist word or whatever, but the delight of just doing what I'm doing and nothing else. Usually, that's a refuge. And then meditation hall, I was arranging myself and the classes and should they be here or so. And then suddenly I was just there, the fingers touching the glasses, which I laid there. And probably, I don't know. I don't know how these things happened. But then it was a meditation where, if I describe it with words, it might sound like a body scan or something, but it was sort of, it was just being in where, inside, with one little, with something, how can I describe this? But there were no, there was, the awareness was not in a leg, in a foot. This is one of a leg or foot or anything. It wasn't cold or hot or hard or whatever you often describe things. Mm. It was just actually being.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it probably cannot be described with words. But it's extremely interesting.
Zagane Pioma, so body scan, Pioma, Echema, Piolumia, also Kanako, Chiraula, Lella, Bula, Ilamo, Tizia, 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 a young thing.
Okay, okay, we know.
Yes, okay. So actually, I had a feeling that you were passing Sairo and the way out, I'm pretty sure you could just go through me if I was in the way, yeah, or something. Yeah. It was like,
yes, it would just be known.
And that's quite, and then people would go out. And I was, well, I don't know if I was really attached to it, but it, well, why not sort of go on even if there have been this in and out doors?
Yeah.
So a bit of a break.
Uh-huh.
But then, and I know you can, there's kind of these experiences and you can't just want to go back to
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
But I had sort of a bodily feeling that I could probably do that.
Mm.
And anyway, I have the thought, I'm a very, very good yogi, and maybe others cannot do this, but I can do it. But so that was probably something like very much of a self, and
yeah.
Well, I had a nice time sitting there, but nothing like the other thing.
Yeah.
Just one last thing. Later. This little thing which I do not have open and do not look at. I happen to look at it, some device. I've seen someone else have that device too, or similar. And I look at it and it said, oh, you have to check in for your flight tomorrow. And went, oh my God, that was the wake up call.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
And I would take too much time if I should tell how fantastic it is to have all of you, teachers,
yeah.
and all of you as teachers and this, yeah, other stuff.
Okay, see you tomorrow.
Thank you.
Nice talk.